Please be safe, and thank you for listening.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of To Your Life. To Your Life is a program designed not only to inform, but to also turn your life and health around. And I'm Dr. Theodore Watkins, the host of To Your Health, and I'm here with my able assistant, Mr. Frank Smith. How are you doing today, Brother Frank?
I'm doing fantastic, Doc. Thank you for asking.
Fantastic. Today we have a very, very excellent topic and an excellent person to discuss that this topic, and that is holistic dentistry. You want to introduce our guest, who is perhaps no stranger to WPFW, but introduce him and to those who may not know him.
Yes, no problem. Dr. Terry Victor is our esteemed guest. He's a DC dentist. That's his organization. And he's the first holistic, biological, and eco-friendly dental office in the East Coast. And the only one of its kind in the DC metropolitan area. Dr. Victor's passion is helping his clients maintain overall health and healthy teeth and gums with safe, non-toxic, and holistic dentistry practices. He is a graduate of Howard University College of Dentistry, and Dr. Victor then completed his dental residency at the famous St. Elizabeth's Hospital in D.C., and I bet you got some tough patients there. He has numerous accreditations, certificates, and memberships related to general and holistic and eco dentistry. And he's a returning guest, as Dr. Watkins mentioned. I think he's been on there 3 or 4 times, Doc.
Yeah, at least three, for sure. We're excited to have you, Doc. Always, you add so much information to our listeners, and that's what we want. But not just for information, things that will help to turn their life and their health around. Yeah. But I guess the first thing we probably need to ask you. What is holistic dentistry?
Excellent question, Dr. Watkins. And once again, thank you so much for having me on. Thank you, Mr. Frank.
Yes.
I appreciate you having me on so that we can have a good conversation so we can add to what people could add to their arsenal of getting good and healthy. I would say my definition for holistic dentistry is that holistic dentistry is where you see that there's a connection between the mouth and the rest of the body, that you try not to put any toxic chemicals in the patient's system, and you see that that there is a connection between what it is that happens in the mouth and how it affects what happens in the body. So even something like let's say periodontal disease, gum disease, which is really like an inflammatory process, and how does that inflammation, if you don't take care of it in the mouth, how does that inflammation affect the rest of the patient's body? And I'm sure, as you know, Dr. Watkins, inflammation is probably one of our biggest culprits in the medical medical field. So that that inflammation, for example, that you have in your mouth, it doesn't just stay in your mouth. The bacteria doesn't just stay in your mouth. It goes throughout your system, and that needs to be addressed. So it could cause everything from like high blood pressure, diabetes, all of those things are inflammatory responses, you know. Mm-hmm. So that, for me, that's what holistic dentistry is in a nutshell.
So you know, if I came to you with say that inflammation in my mouth, how would your approach differ from that of another dentist who would just try to get rid of the infection or whatever that's causing it?
Yeah. So I think that what we would do is the standard in dentistry is that if you have that inflammation, then what it requires is you need to get your teeth cleaned. Of course, if it's in the mouth, then we would clean the teeth. Or if it's like, let's say, if it's like if you have a tooth that's inflamed or infected, then depending on the situation, you take the tooth out, or you know, you try to save it, depending on the situation. I think one of the things that we do that's different is that we use different alternative therapies in dentistry that we use. So we use homeopathic remedies, we use supplementation, we use aromatherapy. We also would see if that patient has like a physician, that we would also make that physician aware of the condition that we've seen that patient in. Because whether that patient goes to a physician or whether that patient goes to a dentist, that it's the same patient, it's the same body, and there should be like a communication between those people that are seeing the same patients. So some of the alternative therapies, I think, is what we would do, and also making sure that patient gets that cleaned up and is able to stay cleaned up.
So I understand that holistic dentistry uses other modalities, like you mentioned, acupuncture, you know, different herbal remedies. Would you also, you know, give them advice or direct them where they can get information, say, on nutrition and things like that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. Because those things are very, very important, right? Because what you put into your body is a reflection of how your body is. So to get to check the patient's nutrition, to see what their diet is like, what they're eating, and even something like stress level could really impact your dental care also, because that is that's another way that you can start to stress level really breaks down a lot of tissue. It really breaks down our bodies. So to check to see what that patient's stress levels are, what it is that they're going through. Just an example today, I saw a patient that she was having some dental issues, but then she was also having some dermatological issues. So we were able to direct her to where she can go to a dermatologist and take care of those dermatology issues. So it might be that the stress that she was experiencing that's coming with the dental part could also be part of what it is that's happening with the dermatological part. You know, so we take all that into consideration.
So you're trying to be a real doctor.
You know, I think, as you know, in Western medicine, it's so compartmentalized.
Yeah.
You know, you're an eye doctor, you're a hand doctor. I know I had a patient, he was seeing this guy that was just a hand doctor. I mean, like, that's all that he did was just hand. But, you know, we have to see that there's like a whole person sitting in front of us. And if they're having an issue in one part of their body, they're probably having issues in other part of their body, because it's all related. But, you know, sometimes in Western medicine, they're just so focused on that one part, they don't see the patient as a whole entity, as a whole person. And I think that that's important.
So, you know, I mean, we're in an environment where people are always cost conscious, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that holistic dentistry can be a little more expensive than regular dentistry because you're doing so much more. So why would a person want to come to you and not go to a regular dentist and save some money?
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a very good question. And I because our office, you know, stays pretty full. I would say that people see that there's value in what it is that we're doing. They see that we listen to their care and their concerns, and that we're able to diagnose what it is that they need, and the way that we treat those patients, that they say that, you know what, I'll pay a little bit more to go to this office, because I like how it is that they're treating me. I like what it is that they're saying. I like what it is that they're recommending. So I will continue to go here, you know. So I think that we've been truly lucky, truly blessed that patients see the value in what it is that we're doing.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with it, brother. it's your competent care that's causing that waiting room to be full.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. You know, we used to hear a lot of talk about toothpastes and mouth rinses and so forth, and the detrimental effect that they could have. We don't hear too much about that anymore. You know, are there certain reasons that we need to be careful about what kind of toothpaste we're using or what kind of mouth rinse we're using, you know, and taking care of our teeth?
Yes, certainly.
Or should we get what's on sale?
Yeah, that's a very good question also. I don't think you should get what's on sale. It's on sale for a reason, right? So what I would say that mouth rinses and toothpaste are an important part of your oral care. But you also have to be very careful what it is that you put into your mouth, what it is that you put into your system. So I always tell my patients there are certain things that you want to look for in your mouth rinse and your toothpaste to make sure that those ingredients are not in. So, for example, in toothpaste and mouth rinse, you don't want any alcohol. And a lot of different companies put alcohol in those products.
So why not alcohol? I mean, what is... Alcohol.
Well, because alcohol is something that is an astringent, right? It's something that that the mouth is an area that's supposed to be, it's supposed to be moist. It's supposed to be wet. That's how that's the best way for it to be, because you have your saliva. But what the alcohol does is it dries everything out,
right.
And you don't need to dry everything out, because then that's when the bacteria can proliferate. We have antibacterial properties in our saliva. And our saliva takes care of killing some bacteria, but if you dry it out with the alcohol, then it doesn't work as well. Mm, so alcohol, right. Sugar, you don't want to have any sugar in there, because sugar causes cavities. And you know, they have there's a lot of different ways you can use sugar that you really need to look at the label to see what it is. Sodium lauryl sulfate is another one that you don't want. That they put in toothpaste and mouth rinse. They've always put in cosmetics. Any kind of coloring or unnatural flavors that they put in there, those things you want to watch out for. You want to make sure that like some natural non-toxic things, it should go in your toothbrush. I mean, in your toothpaste and in your mouth rinse.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
it sounds to me that you're working against your practice, taking away sugar.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we don't want to add to the problem.
yeah, man. You're trying to get patients well around here. So what about this issue of fluoride? You know,
fluoride.
There's been a lot of controversy for years about fluoride.
Yeah. For years, there's been a lot of talks about fluoride and whether fluoride is a good thing or whether fluoride is kind of a toxic thing. I think the concept behind fluoride is that if you make our teeth harder, bacteria causes cavities. If we make our teeth harder, then what's going to happen is it's going to make it harder for you to get cavities. But once again, this is like a non-holistic view of the whole thing, because if you take something that makes your teeth harder, it means that it doesn't just work on your teeth, it works on other parts of your body also. So what else does it make harder if it makes your teeth harder? Does it make your veins harder? Does it make your blood vessels less pliable? Does it make your muscles less pliable? Does it make your brain less pliable? You know, so all of those things are concerns. And for me, I think that if we keep in dental school, they tell us that bacteria causes cavities. If we just keep our teeth clean and healthy and free of bacteria, I think that for me is a better way to keep your teeth clean and healthy, as opposed to adding something systemically or adding something that you put on your teeth, you put in your mouth to combat cavities. That's my thought.
So how would you, from a holistic perspective, keep the mouth free of bacteria?
Oh, there's lots of ways you do that. For example, making sure something as simple as brushing and flossing. You know, brushing and flossing is especially flossing, because flossing gets between your teeth, whereas brushing doesn't get between your teeth. But flossing and brushing, keeping everything healthy. If you have like a mouth rinse that as we talked about is healthy and doesn't have all those things in it, you can use those things. You know, making sure you go to the dentist every 6 months, so if anything happens that you can catch it early and then you don't have to, it doesn't become a big issue. I think the key is just keeping everything clean and just keeping everything healthy. That is really, really the key. And then you can do that with brushing and flossing and keeping everything healthy. Watching the sugar content of what you have, watching how it is, what it is that you eat. All of those things, could decrease the amount of cavities that you have.
So how often do you recommend that a person, say, brush and floss their teeth?
I would say the ideal for brushing and flossing your teeth is after every time you eat. Because every time you eat, you get food particles on your teeth. The bacteria that's in your mouth, and all of us have bacteria in our mouth, the bacteria that's in our mouth will follow that food that you eat and will eat the food and eat your teeth and or make your gums inflamed. So if you're able to, because we might not be able to brush and floss after every meal, but at least before you go to bed and when you get up in the morning, at least for that as a minimum, before you go to bed and when you get up in the morning, you should be able to brush and floss your teeth and have them in a good sort of way. Because what happens is that if you don't do it before you go to bed, then what ends up happening, that those bacteria stay in your mouth overnight. It's a closed, dark, moist environment with food in it, which our bacteria really love a lot. So because of that environment, they'll proliferate. Mm-hmm. And for them to be there for like 8 to 10 hours when you're sleeping, that's what that would cause a problem. And if you do that constantly and consistently, it'll cause a problem. The same thing if you don't do it when you get up in the morning, that you keep that stuff on your teeth for that night and also through the course of the day also, it will cause a problem. So that's what I would say.
So you mentioned several times, you mentioned bacteria. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we've talked lately about the good bacteria and the bad bacteria.
Yeah.
You know, and how the good bacteria is so beneficial in terms of these prebiotics and so forth.
Yeah.
The probiotics, the prebiotics are then leading to the probiotics. So how does dental care promote the good and keep away the bad?
Yeah. So, you know, I can't speak for how other dentists do it, but for us, one of the things that we recommend to our patients a lot is probiotics, because probiotics will really help you. As I'm sure, as you know, good bacteria will really in your intestinal flora, good bacteria in your mouth, all of those would really, really help you with your, not just your dental health and keeping bacteria, bad bacteria down, but that's something that would help you in your overall health. So that is something that we stress to our patients, that get some probiotics, get that into your system. It'll help your stomach. It'll help you with your digestion. And the byproduct of that too is, because we see everything as holistic, everything as related, everything as connected, by that too, it'll help the good bacteria that's in your mouth also.
All right, then. This is Dr. Theodore Watkins. The program is To Your Health, and we're excited today to have Dr. Victor with us, and we're talking about holistic dentistry. If you have a question or comment, please give us a call. The number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Now, are there materials that you would use in holistic dentistry that perhaps would not be used in regular dentistry?
There are some products that we use that in traditional dentistry that they might not use. Some of our filling materials, perhaps. Some of even some of the like I said, the homeopathic remedies, the supplementation, the aromatherapy, all of those things that are things that we use that you probably likely would not see in a regular dental office. So we've taken classes on how to use those things and some of those things and how it is that we do. And those things I think you would probably not see in a traditional dental office.
So you mentioned fillings, and I was going to come to it a little later, but since you mentioned it, let me bring it up even now. So once again, years ago, there was a big controversy as to whether or not a person should deal with mercury fillings. We don't hear a whole lot about that now. What's your stance on that?
Mercury fillings, I do not do mercury fillings. I don't do, so those are like amalgam fillings that you're talking about, or what people call silver fillings. Silver fillings are about maybe anywhere from 50 to 54% mercury, depending on the fillings that's done. I don't do them because I see that they're as a dental material, dental restorative material, just as a filling material. I think that they're not a very good filling material at all. They've been using the same product for the last 100 years, the same formula to make these fillings that they're using now. I think that it is like old technology for dentistry. I can't think of anything in medicine that you've been using that they're still using in the last 100 years or so. And it's only in dentistry that you would think that there's a product that was made that long ago and that it's still viable. Today we have like so many different filling materials that you can use that are much more biocompatible. They're much more, they seal much better, they're better for the tooth, they function better, and they don't have the mercury in them. So for me, the technology of it is just an outdated technology. And as far as putting mercury in a filling, you know, I just think that we could do much, much better than that, to be honest with you. Yeah.
So does mercury really depress the immune system and increase allergies and so forth also?
Well, I would think that mercury would be, I would think that mercury would be something that is not promoting your health.
All right. There's
an organization called IAOMT, International Oral Medicine and Toxicology. And they've done like, they're a dental organization, but they also have PhDs. They also have physicians in the organization. They've done a lot of research on mercury fillings and on mercury and what mercury does to the body. And what they found is that there's nothing, it's all negative. It's not your listeners can go to their website, IOAMT.org. And they can find a lot of information there on mercury and mercury toxicity. And I mean, scholarly works that's been done on that. So for me, I think that
that's an independent organization.
I'm sorry?
That's an independent organization.
It's an independent organization, yes. So they've done a lot of research on it. They've done a lot of studies on it. And I mean, they have like articles upon articles and studies upon studies on what that on the viability of that. And you know, my options, I think, are so much better than that.
Mm-hmm. Once again, the number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Let's go to our phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Am I?
Yes.
Okay, great. You know, it's so interesting. My dentist left me 2 years ago. He retired. When he retired, he gave us, well, he tried to suggest to us another dentist. But that guy, you know, once you've had a dentist for like 20 years,
mm-hmm.
it's so difficult to go back. So I've been trying to find a dentist now for the past 2 years. And it looks as if you have this sort of, you know, like I'm really a nature boy, so I like all natural stuff. And all the mercury in my mouth is finished,
uh-huh.
gone. So thank God for that. So now I have a lot of little holes in my mouth. Sometimes, like, you know, I can't even eat fruits now, like apples, I'm crushing. I gotta put them in the blender so I can enjoy them. But right now I'm looking for a dentist. But the problem I'm having too is, you know, these days we who are poor and rely on governmental insurance. Do your people take this sort of government insurance?
What kind of, you mean like something like Medicaid?
So something, I have AmeriGroup, something like that. AmeriHealth Caritas.
Yeah.
Do you take that or no?
I'm not sure. We probably, if it's like a government agency, we probably are not, because you have to sign up with the government to take that. I don't think that we take that.
You see, that's a big problem. How many poor people need your help? Now we can't do it because we have to suffer for the money that we pay for the food to eat and all the other little things like housing. It's not that I'm trying to say anything more, but this is the problem. We have such good, like who are your people? Are they upper middle class, middle class or something? You know what I'm saying?
The patients that come to see me a lot of times are just regular, ordinary people. You know, they don't...
They work hard. They work hard. They are upper, they're middle class. They make it. You know what I'm saying?
Let me jump in here. One of the things that I have found, because I like Dr. Victor, I don't take a lot of insurances, but I find that people pay for what they want.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and I used to have an office in a housing project in Kenilworth, and I found that people will pay for what they want. And so a lot of it depends on education. That's why we have Dr. Victor on today, to educate the public. And then we have to look at our priorities and make decisions based on that. But we appreciate your call and maybe some kind of way you can afford to make Dr. Victor your doctor. The number here is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Yes, Dr. Watkins.
Yes.
I got a question about brushing your teeth with not fluoride, but these herbal toothpastes.
Okay.
And I was wondering,
is there a particular one you're interested in, or just in general herbal toothpastes?
Herbal toothpastes, in general.
Dr. Victor, let's deal with toothpastes in general. What you recommend for your patients to use?
If you want an herbal toothpaste, there's lots of natural toothpastes that are out there. If you go to a health food store, there's aisles and aisles of everybody has a different toothpaste. What you really need to look for is those things that I said before: no alcohol, no sugars, no sodium lauryl sulfate. Something as natural as possible. You know what's really interesting is you could even make your own toothpaste.
Yeah.
You know, you can do just like some baking soda, some water, add some any kind of essential oils that you want to do that. The baking soda will make it kind of like stick, so they kind of like a toothpastey kind of like. So you really toothpaste is not as important as floss in my opinion, right? What toothpaste does is that it takes large particles of food off of your teeth. Like I said before, it doesn't go in between your teeth, which is where the crevices are, where the bacteria is, and where decay a lot of times start. But it takes off the big particles. And even if you just brush your teeth, you could take off those large particles. If you rinse your mouth out, you could take off a large part of those big particles. It's important that you're able to floss your teeth, because that's what gets in between. And it's in between that you have like a hard time reaching, because our teeth are almost like self-cleaning on the top. So rinsing your mouth out, making your own toothpaste, you can do that. Flossing is important. Brushing is important also, yeah. But flossing gets in between there also.
Are there some herbs that have been shown to be effective in dentistry in particular though?
Yeah, I'm sure that there's a lot of herbs that you can use. One herb that you use can just use like a little pinch of tea tree oil if you're going to do something. Just tea tree oil, because that'll kill the bacteria. You know, anything like maybe like even something like cinnamon and something like that. That would also help. But you really just need just like a small amount of those. There's like a lot of different herbs that you can use that is antibacterial that are good good for dental care.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about using the water picks?
Yeah, water pick is excellent. It's excellent. You should get a water pick. It's very good, because what it can do is it can force that water in between your teeth. It can take stuff off the top. A water pick, I would highly recommend. What else I would highly recommend is an electric toothbrush. Mm-hmm. An electric toothbrush works very well. It's been proven that it can be even more beneficial than a manual toothbrush.
All right.
Once again,
the number is 202-588. Okay, thank you so much, sir. The number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. We got a number of callers on, but let's go back to the next one. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Oh, yes. Hi, I'm Dr. Tedinger. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question for Dr. Victor, please. Hello,
yes,
can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
I have two questions. The first question, I wanted to find out, is it okay to brush your teeth with peroxide and baking soda, Dr. Terry? I'm sorry, Dr. Victor.
Yes, you can do peroxide and baking soda. I think you just have to kind of like be careful, because it kind of like, when you mix peroxide and baking soda, it really bubbles up a lot. Mm-hmm. And you know, you want to kind of like just make sure that you can get that under control. And and you can add some essential oils to that. You can use that, because the The baking soda, like I said before, will get it to stick to the toothbrush, and the peroxide it'll change the pH of your mouth. We always want a low pH. Bacteria likes high pH, like acidic, but we want more kind of like a neutral pH. If you're gonna use hydrogen peroxide, make sure you dilute it 50%, 50-50, and don't really use it straight because that could it could be a lot. So dilute it 50-50. Add some to the baking soda, use some essential oils on there, and you could use that to brush your teeth for sure.
Okay, so what type of essential oil did you suggest?
I said that you could use maybe like just a dot of tea tree oil. You could use any of most essential oils are pretty good, a dot of the cinnamon, and then any other ones that you might want for like flavor. You can put just a real small dot of that in there.
Yeah, peppermint's good, too.
Peppermint is good.
Oh, peppermint. Oh, I like peppermint. Okay, great. And the other question, thank you, is you mentioned earlier about probiotics to take that. I was wondering what strength of strain. You know, like I have something here. It has 50 billion. And it has 15 probiotic strains. What do you suggest? That's just an example of what I have.
So I always tell my patients, you want to have something at least 10 billion. And the key to it, too, is that you always want it to say live bacteria.
Okay.
So you can get that at the health food store. But it's important that it says live bacteria. So it comes in many different forms, right? You can have pills. You can have, like, liquids. It can be, you know, in the refrigerator. It cannot be in the refrigerator. It's really up to you. For me, what is important is that the amount that it has in it and live bacteria. And then you also might want to get your probiotics from like sources like, you know, like sauerkraut, kombucha, kimchi, all of those, any fermented foods because they're alive, right? So any of the fermented foods, you might want to get your probiotics from that too.
All right.
Thank you so much, Carla. We appreciate excellent questions. Excellent questions.
Okay. Thank you so much.
The number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. We've got a number of callers on, Doc. We might have to get you back on here again. Let's go back to the phone. Just call her. You're on the line.
Yes, sir. Hi. That's a bite problem. I went to a dentist. He told me all my fillings, my metal fillings, had to be removed and replaced. And he replaced them on one side and left me with a bite problem that I've not been able to resolve. And I was wondering how to resolve it.
Yeah, well, you'd have to go back to the dentist and tell him that he needs to make adjustments
never
to the fillings that he did. Because what happens is that you really have to make sure, let's say, for example, you're getting two or three fillings done. You want to make sure that you check the patient's bite before you do the fillings to find out what their bite is like. And then you do the fillings, and then you check, their bite should be the same as what it is when they came in, when you finish your fillings.
Yeah.
So that way you don't have, you know, that it's too high and they have to come back for adjustments and that kind of stuff. So you would have to go back to the doctor and he would have to make some adjustments on that.
I need to find a new place to go. I checked the guy's Yelp reviews and he had 100 reviews that were negative.
Keeping
people's fillings out and when they don't even need the fillings out.
Mm.
Yeah. Horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll give Dr. Victor's number.
Sure.
In a little bit. So you know, if you can certainly consider Dr. Victor to be able to help you there. Let's go back to our caller. Caller, you're on the line.
Caller.
Yes, caller.
Yes, Doc.
Yes, sir. Question or comment?
Question for the doctor.
Yes, sir.
When you clean your teeth, should the dentist pull your gum from around your teeth to clean your teeth and cause your gum to bleed that much?
Good question. I would say that there's a procedure called scaling and root planing. If you have bacteria that's underneath the gums, then what ends up happening is that the gums get inflamed. If you have buildup underneath the gums get inflamed. And it makes the tissue very, very prone to bleeding. Because there's your gums don't like it. They try to pull away from it. They get more blood cells in there. They try to pull away from it. When the dentist goes to clean it, they'll go underneath of the gums. They'll give you some anesthesia. They'll go underneath of the gums, and they'll clean that up. It might cause you to have, like, some bleeding, yes. But that bleeding should stop, like, in a very short period of time, because once that bacteria is off, once that buildup is off your tooth, that buildup acts like an irritant. It irritates your gums. Once it's gone, then your gums should sit back on your tooth well again, and then that should decrease the bleeding. Probably in about, like, maybe about a week, maybe a week or two or so, that the bleeding should be significantly decreased.
Right. So see, why I ask you that question, I even go to my doctor. I do flossing most of the time, toothpick most of the time. And he said, I have no buildup. And he was surprised with somebody is going to the doctor very often for cleaning. And he said, how come you don't have no buildup? I said, well, I use my floss. I use my toothpick.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when they try to clean my teeth, they pull the flesh from my gum. And I told them, I don't want you to pull the flesh from my gum because you're going to cause me to bleed. Because if I don't have no buildup, why would you be pulling my gum? No, yeah. I want us to ask you a question about the baking soda, but I heard somebody already ask that question.
Yeah.
And all right.
I'm not sure why they would do that, but that is the usual cause of bleeding.
Yeah, well, you may need to get a second opinion, caller. And,
yes. Well,
because you are the rate limiting step. All right. Mm-hmm. The number, once again, is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phone. Just call her. You're on the line.
Yes, greetings and good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, so over the past couple of years, I've been hearing this stuff about charcoal. I've seen some products on the market about charcoal as well. Charcoal toothpaste, excuse me. So I have a question about charcoal toothpaste. Is it effective? Is it something that we want to use? And also, Listerine also has a claim that they claim to be better than brushing. Can you comment on that as well? Thank you.
Okay. So charcoal toothpaste. I think that there's been a lot of talk about charcoal toothpaste and it's beneficial. And I'll just restate my stance on toothpaste, which is that it's something that you can use to clean your teeth. If you have, like, some things that are in there that can cause the teeth to be more healthy, then that's fine. I have some patients that use charcoal toothpaste, and they seem to really like it a lot, to be honest with you. To me, it's not that pressing as you know, you're making sure that you come and you get your teeth cleaned, that everything stays clean, everything stays healthy, and that you floss. Those are things that are important for me. And what was your second question?
The question was about Listerine, and they claim that it being better than brushing.
Yeah, I don't recommend Listerine to my patients.
No.
Yeah, it's not one of the things, just because of those things that I've said before, the ingredients in there, it doesn't line up with my philosophy about oral health.
Understood. So with an antiseptic, is that something that we want to be using as far as for gargling and for, I guess, for common issues, whether it be cold and stuff like that?
Yeah. Antiseptic is just like something that is like antibacterial, right? So you want to get like a mouth rinse that has some more natural ingredients in it, you know? You want to get something that that doesn't have the chemicals in it, and you want to get something that is a little bit more natural. I think if you're going to talk about like a mouth rinse.
Understood.
There's lots of products out here. We have products at our office, but there's lots of products out there that are that would do that, you know, that as a mouth rinse and as a toothpaste, and make sure that you floss, because like I said before, the flossing is to me vital.
So what's the most popular mouth rinse you see with your patients?
If I had to say about a mouth rinse, a natural mouth rinse that's over the counter, and one that I've used before is Jason's. Jason's has like a pretty nice product, and you can get that at any kind of like health food store. There's a lot of them out there, to be honest with you, Doc. There's like a lot of them out there. You know, depending on your preference.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
While everyone
can you make your own mouthwash?
I'm sorry?
Can you make your own mouthwash?
Certainly. You certainly can. Yeah, you certainly can.
What are you doing?
I'm sure that there's, because then you could make it to your preference, right? You know, you can
right.
Add whatever it is to it that you need. And you can certainly,
exactly,
I'm sure you can just go online and find out. I'm sure it's pretty easy to be able to make your own, for sure.
Okay.
Probably cheaper, for sure, too.
Mm-hmm.
While I have you on the line, I have one more question. I'll take that in response off air. Teeth whitening, what's your position on that?
Good question. Teeth whitening. So there's a number of different types of teeth whitening, right? There's teeth whitening that you can do, like the strips that you can get at the drugstore over the counter. There's whitening that we can do at the office, like almost like a 1 hour whitening. And there's also a type of whitening that we do that's like in between the strips and the 1 hour whitening, which is where you can you take it home and you wear the trays for like maybe 20 or 30 minutes every day, and then in about seven to 10 days, you should see a noticeable difference. So there's three different types of whitening.
Is it recommended?
Yeah, you can get your teeth whitened. Mm-hmm. We can recommend it. I think that part of it is that you really want to make sure that you don't do, you know, some people want to do whitening like every, you know, often. You don't want to do that. But you should be able to whiten your teeth a number of shades wider without actually doing any damage to it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I appreciate the time.
Oh, no problem.
All right, we may have time for one more caller. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Hey, Dr. Juan, this is Marvin for once. How you doing, man?
All right, Marvin.
Hey, man, I just signed up for a new dental plan, so I'm definitely going to go see Dr. Victor. I'm appreciating enjoying the program. I've been using over for the last past year charcoal, activated charcoal. I use it twice a day. Also, I goggle with organic, non-GMO turmeric powder. But like in the morning when I get up, I squeeze like 3 lemons, 3 limes, put a teaspoon of turmeric powder in warm water, and I use it as a goggle too. I see that turmeric has a lot of benefits as far as the gums, treating the gums and gum problems, citrus fruits and stuff like that. And the activated charcoal has been really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think that's it. What I would be cautious of is the limes and the lemons, because the citric acid in those, I would maybe dilute them. The citric acid in those can cause an issue with the enamel of your teeth.
Oh, really?
If you use those like over a long period of time, then what might happen is that the enamel starts to degrade and you might get like some sensitivity. So what you want to do is if you are going to use that and you're going to use it every day, then what I would say is that I would really dilute it, and
I don't use it
maybe
every
not
day.
Do like every day.
Right. Yeah. I do about twice a week.
You're going to get sensitive.
Right. Yeah. I do about twice a week. Yeah. Now, what about activated charcoal? I mean,
And what about that turmeric? Does turmeric discolor?
Turmeric. Yeah, that's one we didn't mention when we were talking about the herbs. Turmeric is very, very good. It's good for your gums, and it kills bacteria, and it's also good for your teeth. Yeah, thank you, Doug. I didn't mention the turmeric.
Okay, and it's not going to cause discoloration.
Mm-mm, no, it shouldn't really cause any discoloration.
All right. But Doc, look here, man. You're going to have to check your schedule, brother. Because we're leaving a lot of callers on hold here, and so we got to get you back. You know, we just appreciate all the information that you've given. I wasn't even able to get to all of my questions, man. You know, so it's clear that we're going to have to get you back on. What do you say about that, Brother Frank? You're on mute, Brother Frank.
Yes, we got to get him back soon.
So I need you to start working on that right away,
mm-hmm.
and get in the schedule. I know it's tough, Doc.
He's busy,
man. But we gotta somehow, the public needs you, man. The public needs you. You know, lastly, I just when Frank was reading your bio there, I was so impressed that you were the first, and the only, it shows dedication. There's a reason why a lot of dentists are not going into holistic, and it's probably mainly money, but you have made the I won't say sacrifice, but you have dedicated yourself to the community, and we want to appreciate it. So if people want to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
Oh, they can get in touch with us. We're online at thedcdentist.com.
The what?
Thedcdentist.com.
Right.
And then you could also reach us. Our telephone number is 202-544-3626.
Repeat that again.
202-544-3626. And we're on all the social media, Google, all of that kind of stuff. We're not hard to find. So, you can give us a call. We're doing a special, the end of the year special for Claire braces, which is like braces without the without all the wires and the bands and the metal in your mouth. So that's something that people might be interested in. So they can give a call to the office and we can talk to them about that.
All right. Well, we're gonna have to get you back on here pretty soon, Brother Frank. You know?
Yes.
We just want to really thank you for all the information that you've given. Mm-hmm. And sharing of your precious time. Any final comments, Brother Frank?
Yes, sir. I had the distinct pleasure of having my dentist and my doctor on one show.
All right.
And both of them are holistic. Both of them are caring people. Check them out.
All right.
If you want to check out Dr. Watkins, 202-388-0992, Tuesday through Thursdays, 10 to 5. That's 202-388-0992. Or you can go to www.twiliving.com, twiliving.com. We want to thank Kalia Chapman, our fantastic engineer, all of the WPFW staff, and programmers, volunteers, and loyal listeners. Thank you, Joni Eisenberg, for your shows. They help to keep D.C. healthy and wise. Thank you, Oladari and Maccabee, for your musical contributions. Next up is African Deep Thought Edition with Brother Kaba. After that, To the East with Ambrose Lane. We will not be on next week, but the week following, we will be on. Just a quote. Health is wealth. The greatest wealth is health. That's Virgil. He said that, and Maccabee has a song about that. If you want to invest in the greatest wealth, you have to prioritize it.
All right, now.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Doc.
Thank you.
Eyes are with eyes and a vegan, we're vegan. I and I eat from the earth and need the animals to give birth. No deaders, no fur, no feathers. When I tell people I don't eat meat, fish or dairy, then look for me strangely. Then I realize I eat a very wide variety. Listen to Maccabee. Yo, how when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan, man. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. It's coming up on 1 week since Brian Thompson, the CEO of United Healthcare, was gunned down on a busy street in Manhattan, New York. Officials are calling the act a, quote, brazen, targeted murder. This afternoon, police arrested a 26-year-old man identified as Luigi Mangione on gun charges in connection with the fatal shooting. Authorities picked up Mangione at a McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania, after a McDonald's employee called police because Mangione resembled the man in surveillance photos that had been circulated by the NYPD after Brian Thompson's murder. Upon searching Mangione, police found that he had a gun with a suppressor, a device that muffles the sound of a firearm. A suppressor had been used in the homicide. Mangione also had in his possession a number of fake IDs and a two-page document criticizing the healthcare industry and suggesting that violence is the answer. Rapper and businessman Jay-Z is now the first celebrity to be accused of sexual assault in connection with Sean Diddy Combs. In October, a woman known as Jane Doe filed a lawsuit against Combs saying that he raped her after the Video Music Awards in 2000. When she was 13 years old. Yesterday, Jane Doe adjusted her lawsuit to claim that Jay-Z raped her first at this party, followed by Sean Combs. Jay-Z, whose real name is Sean Carter, has responded to the allegations in a statement, calling them, quote, heinous in nature. And he also said, whomever would commit such a crime against a minor should be locked away. In his statement, Jay-Z added that his only heartbreak is that he and his wife Beyonce will have to sit their children down and, quote, explain the cruelty and greed of people. Previously, an anonymous male celebrity filed a lawsuit against Jane Doe's attorney, Tony Busby, alleging that Busby and his firm had, quote, threatened to unleash entirely fabricated and salacious allegations of sexual assault that included multiple instances of rape of a minor, both male and female, if their client, quote, refused to comply with their demands. A Manhattan jury has cleared a white former Marine of criminally negligent homicide in the chokehold death of a black homeless man in 2023. A more serious manslaughter charge was dismissed earlier in deliberations because the jury deadlocked on that count. In May of last year, 30-year-old Jordan Neely, a black man, boarded a New York City subway, hurled his jacket on the floor, and declared that he was hungry and thirsty and didn't care if he died or went to jail, according to witnesses. It was documented that Neely struggled with mental illness and drug use after his mother was killed when he was a teenager. After Neely's outburst on the train, Daniel Penny, the former Marine, came up from behind him, grabbed his neck, took him to the floor, and kept him in a chokehold for about 6 minutes. His attorneys said he was protecting himself and other subway passengers from a volatile, mentally ill man who was making alarming remarks and gestures. However, at least one bystander told Penny to let Neely go because he was dying. Jordan Neely's father, Andre Zachary, has filed a wrongful death suit against Daniel Penny, having called the justice system rigged. To the D.C. area, there are 123,000 vacant homes in the nation's capital, which is part of 5.6 million vacant homes in the 50 largest United States metropolitan areas. However, these vacancies aren't automatically a solution to the shortage of homes on the housing market. Why not? The number one reason is said to be that 33% of empty homes in the D.C. region are that way because they are rentals between tenants. It is the same nationwide, followed by homes that are seasonally occupied, most commonly as vacation or second homes. Reports show that extremely